Welcome to Remedy and Rhyme, a space where poetry meets the wise power of plants. I'm your host, Kimberly Kling of Joyful Roots. We'll begin each episode with a poem, a soul offering inspired by a single herb. From there, we'll follow the thread of the plant's deeper wisdom, exploring what it reveals to the heart, how it invites us into greater awareness, and how we might welcome that into our own lives. Then we'll ground that insight with simple ways to work with the herb in your everyday life rhythms. So whether you're here for the poetry, the plant stories, or the space in between, I'm so grateful that you've joined me. This podcast is for educational and inspirational purposes only. I am not a medical doctor or a licensed health professional, and nothing shared here is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. The information provided has not been evaluated by the FDA. Herbs are powerful allies, but not without personality. If you experience an allergic reaction or discomfort from any herb mentioned, please stop taking it immediately. Also, if you're on any medications, please check with your doctor about any possible herb-drug interaction. Most importantly, you and you alone are the steward of your own body. What you choose to consume, apply, or integrate is entirely up to you. This podcast is about health empowerment. Listen with curiosity and always honor your body's wisdom. Hello again, and welcome to the fourth episode of Remedy and Rhyme. In this episode, we are going to talk all about tulsi, also known as holy basil, also known as ossimum sanctum, also known as ossimum tenuiflorum. Like so many of you, I'm sure, I absolutely adore this plant, and I'm excited to get into more of her aspects, but I would like to start with a poem. So this poem is called My Body is a Temple, and it's one that I wrote. They once again try to own what is not theirs, but virgin blood is a fortress walled from lies by solid stone, a guardian keeping watch over ancient intellect, woven with the earth herself, a temple no man can take. And when they come with their piercing needles, I rest in the assuredness and even audacity that my sanctum remains impenetrable, because I alone have chosen to remain perfect, whole, and holy. I trust in the miraculous intelligence of this citadel and of millions of miracles in time, birthing into this moment, stone upon stone, laid in woven mortar, built by my ancestors and blessed with blood, sweat, and tears. This palace of my body, in natural perfection, needing nothing but the living, growing wisdom of earth and sky to be here now. As we explore tulsi and get further into this episode, you'll see why I chose that poem to go with today's episode and to accompany our beloved tulsi. And today, as we sit and learn about tulsi, also known as holy basil, we will see a plant whose spirit has been revered across centuries as a guardian of the sacred. She's been called the incomparable one, the queen of herbs, and the bridge between worlds. And yet, tulsi's greatest gift may be how simply and how quietly she reminds us, whispering, "You too are sacred. You too are a living temple." When we sit in the presence of tulsi, we are reminded that there's no need to strive or to prove or to be perfect. Just as she stands rooted and full of fragrance and offering herself with a quiet grace, we can also stand in our own sacredness. No extra embellishments needed and no apology. Tulsi is continually reminding us through her amazing and unique fragrance, this beautiful scent that lifts upward, is delicate and yet quite persistent, that there is more to this life than what we can touch and see. That spirit is always within us, guiding us, and living inside of us, even when we forget. Tulsi is such a resilient plant, and this resilience is something that can remind us of how resilient we also are. And we will get into that in a little bit when we talk more about the physical benefits of Tulsi, but I want to talk about how Tulsi thrives in heat and flourishes in difficult soils, and that how that is a reminder to us that we can root down and also rise even when we're faced with tremendous adversity. And Tulsi is a plant that we can call upon when we are needing to walk through that adversity and bring more resilience into our lives. Right now, I have so many little Tulsi babies coming up in my greenhouse, and more than I think I ever have. But I've been growing Tulsi for quite a few years, and I've been observing how Tulsi grows in the garden and how the plants around Tulsi grow in the garden, and I've noticed a few things. First of all, I've noticed the way that Tulsi calls in all of the insects that are delights to have in the garden, the ones that we want to have around. Last year, my Tulsi plants were covered with ladybugs, and the bees love her too. And I've also noticed that the plants that are growing around her, because I plant Tulsi in between my other more typical garden crops, they all seem to have a bit more vigor and resilience as well. So it seems like Tulsi's bringing harmony to the garden, which you could look at as a metaphor for the way that Tulsi brings harmony to our bodies as well. When we sip a cup of Tulsi tea, we can feel her nourishing wisdom penetrate through our body, easing the mind, calming the nerves, bringing warmth back into our weary hearts. And this aspect that she gives to us is really part of that reminder that we are sacred and that we are a living temple. Just like she's bringing harmony to the garden, she is bringing it to our bodies through the harmonizing of the mind, body, and spirit. This bringing together of the three aspects of ourselves and helping us to feel more whole and holy. In a sense, Tulsi is reminding us that healing isn't just about the absence of pain. Sometimes healing is also about the presence of peace, and that's what Tulsi is helping us to bring more of into our life, is that peace that comes with the ability to adapt and be flexible and be more resilient and have all of our components, all of our aspects of ourselves, mind, body, and spirit, be in alignment. That is one of the ways that we can bring more peace into our lives. It's in this inner peace of being that we can tune into our remembrance that we are sacred and that we deserve to be protected. And from this place, we can tap into our needs in a more healthy way. We can set clearer boundaries, and we can feel comfortable using the word no. And we can also give ourselves the care that we know we need in that moment. Because when you're tapped in and more at ease with your needs, you can tune in and sense what those are. And when we know that we are sacred, that means we know that it's safe to have needs and desires and to be rooted in our own flourishing. Because of this knowing, Tulsi helps us to remember that we are the creators of our own life. So today, as I continue to talk about Tulsi and we move on to some of the stories and traditions that include Tulsi and the more physical aspects that she can bring into our lives, I invite you to let Tulsi's spirit move through you and to remind you of what you already are. You are your own sanctuary. You are sacred. And you deserve to be treated like a holy temple. Now that we've explored Tulsi as a plant that supports this connection between our body, mind, and spirit, let's look at some of the stories and traditions that have surrounded her for centuries. Tulsi isn't just an herb used in teas or remedies, she's part of a lineage of devotion, care, and reverence. Across generations and cultures, she's been honored not just for what she gives, but for what she represents. In ancient Vedic texts, Tulsi is honored as the holiest of plants, a living embodiment of devotion itself. She is seen as the earthly manifestation of Vrinda, an incarnation of the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of abundance, fortune, and beauty. There are many versions to her story, as I understand, each one carrying a thread of devotion through it. In one telling, Vrinda was the faithful wife of the demon king Jalandhar. His strength and invincibility were said to be rooted in her pure devotion. In order to defeat him, Lord Vishnu, the protector of the cosmos, disguised himself as Jalandhar and approached Vrinda. Unknowingly, her chastity was broken, and with it, Jalandhar's power. He was defeated by Lord Shiva. When Vrinda realized what had happened, her heartbreak was enormous. She cursed Vishnu, turning him into the black stone known as Shaligram. Then she gave up her earthly body. The gods, moved by the depths of her love and sacrifice, transformed her spirit into the sacred Tulsi plant. And from that moment on, it was declared Vishnu would not be worshipped without the leaves of Tulsi, a symbol of undying devotion, purity, and the eternal bond between human and divine. It's said that wherever Tulsi grows, fear, poverty and sorrow cannot take root. Where her leaves rustle in the wind, they carry a kind of blessing into the air itself. There's an ancient verse that is roughly translated to mean every house, every village, every forest, wherever Tulsi plant is grown, there misery, fear, disease, and poverty do not exist. Tulsi, in all aspects and places, is holier than holy. It's also said that Lord Shiva himself blesses those who nurture Tulsi, calling them twice blessed, both by the earth and the heavens. There are actually several varieties of Tulsi, and each one is said to have its own gifts. There's the Krishna Tulsi, Asimum tenuiflorum, with its deep purple leaves, and that one is said to be the most potent. It's rich in adaptogenic compounds. Krishna Tulsi brews into a tea that's both really bold and comforting, kind of like a strong hug in a mug. And then there's Rama Tulsi, Asimum Sanctum. This one is a shorter variety and more green and more commonly grown in the West. This is actually the one I believe I have growing in my garden. It's a little bit more delicate and aromatic and easy to sort of welcome into everyday life because it's not quite as strong, but still delicious. And then there's the Vana Tulsi, which is Asimum gratissimum. And this is the wild cousin of the other two. It thrives in forests across India and Africa, and it carries this more wild, peppery type of flavor that's high in eugenol, and that is a natural compound that supports the body's resilience. So they each do have their gifts. They're each slightly different, but they all carry the nourishing wisdom of Tulsi in different ways. Tulsi's gifts move well beyond what we talked about in the beginning of the podcast. In the spiritual sense, they're also very deeply tangible to our body. As an adaptogen, Tulsi supports our body's response to stress. Tulsi is also a rich source of antioxidants, helping to protect and nourish our tissues deeply and through tonic action. For this reason, Tulsi is cherished in both Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine and has long been valued for her care of both the mind and the spirit. Sipping Tulsi tea often feels like receiving a big warm hug, like I mentioned earlier. Drinking a cup of Tulsi is kind of like reminding yourself that you deserve to be loved. Again, in both Ayurveda and Chinese medicine, Tulsi is honored as a tonic for the spirit. This is called a Rasayana in Ayurveda and a Shen tonic in TCM. This is sort of just roughly translated to give you the general idea, but this classification in both these traditions reflects the fact that Tulsi has this deeper gift of not just addressing surface symptoms of stress, but tending to the actual roots of the imbalance. And Tulsi is a wonderful support system to bring in for longer periods of time because of that tonic action. I want to kind of go back to this word adaptogen for a moment because there's a little bit of discrepancy between different trains of thought as to whether Tulsi actually qualifies as an adaptogen, and I'm not really here to necessarily make a determination on that, but what I will say is that adaptogens are a unique group of plants that are known for their ability to help the body adapt to stress, to fatigue, and change. And they're not, like, some can have stimulating qualities, however, they're not necessarily herbs that push your body strongly in a particular direction, like a strong stimulant or a sedative that slows everything down. Adaptogens work a little bit more like a tuning fork. They don't force, they support. So they are a wide range of herbs that can help the body to manage stress and restore balance without negatively affecting any specific organ or system in the body. And they're working to enhance the body's overall function and resilience to stressors. To me, Tulsi does sound like it falls within this category. Herbalist David Winston, who was the author of the book Adaptogens, Herbs for Strength, Stamina, and Stress Relief, says that the number one thing that qualify something as an adaptogen is that it works through one of the two master control systems in the body, the HPA axis, and that's the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is this interface between the endocrine system, the nervous system, the immune system, and the digestive system, the male and female reproductive system, the cardiovascular system, and that's also including the hormonal aspect of the heart, which was discovered more recently, like 25 years ago. And the other control system is the SAS, which is the sympathoadrenal system, and that's where your fight or flight kicks in. So the HPA axis is dealing with chronic stress, and then the SAS primarily deals with more acute stress. And what he says is that adaptogens work through one or both of those systems. So according to David Winston, at least at the time of when I last heard him speak about this, holy basil or Tulsi is actually a probable adaptogen. I still want to buy his book. I don't have it yet, but it does look like he included holy basil in his book, Adaptogens. I touched on this really briefly, but I want to reiterate that Tulsi is very rich in antioxidants, including eugenol, rosmarinic acid, apigenin, and ursolic acid. All of these compounds can help to protect cells from oxidative stress and may also support healthy aging. These compounds contribute to Tulsi's traditional use in guarding against the wear and tear of life, from everything from pollution to inflammation, and most of us could use extra support in those areas these days. Tulsi is a beautiful herb to call on when needing to support the mind and mood. Tulsi's a lovely ally for emotional balance, being both an adaptogen and a nervine. And this way, she supports the nervous system by helping regulate our response to stress. This can look like greater clarity, an uplifted mood, or maybe even the ability to pause before reacting. Tulsi encourages the mind to slow down, to settle a bit more, and to connect to the deeper rhythms of breath and our inner being. Maybe Tulsi is inviting us to notice where stress is living in our body or thoughts and is there to help soften that edge. The slightly warming and slightly drying energetics of Tulsi can help to support the lungs and sinuses, especially when there is a damp, cold condition. And Tulsi has also been shown to promote endurance and help modulate cortisol, to help support more balanced energy levels. Some research is even pointing towards the potential for Tulsi to support blood sugar regulation and cognitive function, which can sometimes go hand in hand as well. So, Tulsi really is this beautiful, gentle ally for the immune system, the breath, and resilience over time. I have a slight word of caution. While Tulsi is cherished for her gentleness and nourishing gifts and is generally considered safe for most people, it's still always wise to listen to your own body and consult a knowledgeable practitioner if you have any specific health conditions, are pregnant, or are taking any medications. Tulsi could potentially influence blood sugar levels, perhaps have blood thinning aspects, or impact the way our body metabolizes certain medications. It's encouraged to reach out to a knowledgeable practitioner in these cases, and as with all plants, you can honor Tulsi the best by working with her thoughtfully and in relationship. So I'd like to end this episode with a little bit of a reflection on our beloved Tulsi. Tulsi has invited us to honor the sacredness within, to slow down, and to nurture our inner balance. So let's end by reflecting on a few of these questions. What does it mean to recognize our own sacredness, and how can we honor this sacredness in our daily life? What practices, rituals, or acts of self-care can we incorporate into our life to nurture that mind, body, and spirit connection? And if we take a moment to step into stillness and take a deep breath, how does this remind our body of its own sacredness? And what sensations do you feel arise? It might be nice for you to journal on these questions or just ponder them in your mind, but the overarching message that I want to leave you all with here today is that you are a sacred being, and honoring your own sacredness starts with you. If you would like to submit a poem to be considered for one of the future podcast episodes, please email that to kim@joyfulroots.com. And in the subject of the email, you can put that it is a poetry submission for Remedy and Rhyme. That would be helpful and wonderful, and I can't wait to hear from you. If you appreciate what I'm doing here with this podcast and would like to help support all future endeavors, you can do that a few ways. First and foremost, if you're able to rate and review the podcast in whatever platform you are listening to this, those positive ratings and reviews help us get in front of more people. You can also join our Remedy and Rhyme Patreon page, which is available at patreon.com/joyfulroots. You'll find all sorts of goodies there, including plant stories, recipes, and more. There is a free membership, but if you are able to help support the podcast via any sort of monetary donation, that is super appreciated. This episode is also brought to you in part by my favorite matcha on the planet, Posana Matcha. It's certified organic, third-party tested to ensure that it's free of heavy metals. It's pure, safe, and absolutely delicious. I love indulging in this every day. It's a single-origin matcha that's grown in the lush fields of Shizuoka, Japan. And honestly, it's the only matcha that I reach for anymore. So when you use my code JOYFULROOTS, that's JOYFULROOTS, at checkout on Posana's website, you'll get 10% off your order, and you'll be supporting this podcast through the small affiliate commission that I receive, which helps me to continue creating this empowering herbal content just for you. You can find the link in the show notes or head to posana.net, that's posana.net. and use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS at checkout for 10% off your order. I'd like to give thanks for the music in the intro and the outro that is called Bedtime After a Coffee by Ikun Baradine on Chosik. I'd like to give immense thanks to my family for supporting me in this herbal journey, and for all of my friends and community who have also been so supportive. I'd like to give a shout out to all of the other herbalists who have influenced me. There are really just too many to name, but I'm so appreciative. And of course, my deepest gratitude goes to our plant allies who have honestly taught me more than I could have ever imagined. I'll see you in the next episode.